Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming to this talk. And thanks to the organizers for letting me share some of my work. So my name is Riley Chen. I'm a grad student in the group of James Whitfield at Dartmouth College. And I'm going to briefly share some recent work on encoding fermionic systems into qubit systems with our, we have quantum simulation in mind, but hopefully this is of interest to everybody. And if you're interested, you can see the paper on the archive that I've listed at the bottom here. And you could also shoot me a message on Slack. Okay, great. So yeah, so typically when we are discussing quantum simulation, the general procedure we follow goes as follows. We are going to prepare a state and we evolve it, say in time evolution, or we apply some unitary, and then we're going to measure the state. And some of these lines could get blurred, say if we have some variational parameters in our state preparation, but this is the general procedure. But implicit to this when we're simulating fermions is we have to decide how do we want to embed the fermionic system into the qubit system. And we have to do this because the fermion operators are going to anti-commute with each other, whereas the qubit operators are generally going to commute unless they're acting on the same qubit. And I'm only going to deal with the second quantization in this talk, because that's the more natural setting. Okay, so the most familiar transformation between fermions and qubits is the Jordan-Winger transformation, which is going to map a system of n fermions to n qubits, and it's one-dimensional in the sense that if we have a local model of fermions in one dimension, and we apply our transformation, we're going to get a local qubit model on the other side. But this works for higher dimensional fermion systems as well. Say if we have some 2D lattice, we can just unroll our 2D lattice onto a 1D chain, but then we're left with non-local interactions in our qubit system. But we'd like to all of our terms to stay local if that's possible. And so to that end, there are a number of higher dimensional generalizations, including some that some members of our audience have worked on a number of years ago. So in general, for these higher dimensional generalizations, there are going to be some greater number of of qubits than we have fermions. And that greater number is going to depend on, say, the connectivity of our fermion model. And in addition, we're going to have to restrict to a subspace of this M qubit system. We are only going to simulate inside a subspace, and we'll encode even parity operators only. But that's fine because those are the physical ones we're interested in. And because we had to prepare this state that's stabilized, that corresponded to this subsystem that I mentioned before, we essentially have to prepare a toric code state before we can start our simulation. And okay, so now I'm going to move towards introducing one such local mapping. And it's most useful to work with the Majorana operators for the fermions. And we're going to introduce generators for the parity-preserving subalgebra. And we can talk about two different types of operators that act on our fermion lattice model. And those are operators corresponding to vertices of our graph. And that's this vertex operator here, which is going to correspond to the local parity, in this case of mode J. And we have edge operators that are going to couple two modes together, and it's going to take part in, say, hopping and pairing. And both of these operators are unitary and the Hermitian, and we're going to map these ones to our poly operators on our qubit system. Okay, so the construction goes as follows. So we start with a model of fermions, and we write our Hamiltonian in terms of the edge and vertex operators that I discussed on the previous slide. And if I have an edge operator that couples two modes together, then I'm going to place an edge on the graph. So in this case, I've drawn just a triangular lattice. And for each vertex, we look at the degree, and then we place half that number of qubits onto the vertex. Okay, and then we define a number of poly operators at each vertex, which is going to be equal to the degree of the vertex. So in this case, I have degree six vertices, I have three qubits, and I define six poly operators on the three qubits at that vertex with the condition that they all mutually anti-commute. And then next, I define the encoded edge and vertex operators. So these are the qubit versions of the operators I discussed previously. And I define them as follows. For the edge operators, I take two of the local poly operators at each of the vertices at the ends of that edge. And for the vertex operators, I multiply together all of the poly operators at that vertex. And then I restrict the subspace in which this condition holds. I take the product of edge operators around a loop, and I insist that that acts as the identity on the subspace. And so there's a number of nice features of this construction. One is that in this step three here, when you define your poly operators, you have a large amount of freedom in defining those operators. And so you can choose bases where, for example, the weight of these operators is going to scale as the log of the degree of the vertex. And it's also been proven in this construction that if you have a graph with vertices that are all degree at least 6, then you have a code of degree 3. And you can, in principle, correct all single qubit errors. But it's a topic of current work to see if we can use that for just error mitigation, something more modest. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about the main idea of this recent work, which is captured by the idea that your Hamiltonian determines an interaction graph, but you're free to encode the system on some other graph that we'll call the system graph, as long as you have at least as many vertices as the interaction graph. And if any two modes on the interaction graph are coupled together, then we insist that on the system graph, there's a path that connects those two vertices. And then you use the mapping that I presented to encode the system graph. Okay, and if two modes are connected on the interaction graph and there's an edge operator that couples them, then I realize that operator as a string operator traversing the system graph. And just a simple example here is you can encode any fermion system with a Jordan-Winger transformation, which you can think of as just choosing a linear graph for the system graph. And then you just recover exactly the Jordan-Winger string operators. Okay. So now I'll discuss some examples for systems of high connectivity. And this Hamiltonian here, I've taken just all quadratic couplings of all quadratic Majorana couplings of n fermions. And this is just a free Hamiltonian, but it's going to be nice to illustrate some of the ideas. So all of the modes are coupled to all the other modes with edge operators. And so my interaction graph is a complete graph. And I have no notion of locality. There's two naive geometries that you would pick would be the first things you thought of. One is just a linear Jordan-Winger geometry, and you could encode the interaction graph directly and you would end up with a complete graph. And then I'm gonna talk about a couple of numbers that are going to be, represent how efficiently I'm able to encode this Hamiltonian. One is just the number of qubits I'm required to have. And the other is a number called the Pauli weight, which I define for a term in the Hamiltonian, just as the number of qubits that this term acts on non-trivially. And then if I'm talking about the Pauli weight for a Hamiltonian, all I'm doing is summing that up for every term, okay? And so you see for Jordan-Winger, you just have n qubits, obviously, but you have a cubic Pauli weight scaling. And for a complete graph, you have a quadratic scaling of the number of qubits with a function of the number of modes. But you can bring your Pauli weight down to n squared log n with a nice choice of the Paulis that you've defined at each vertex. And we're going to try to find some constructions that try to balance the two and give you the best of both worlds. Okay, so we considered a number of geometries. For example, some hierarchical geometries like trees here, or some hyperbolic lattices, or this one is inspired by Mira. And it turns out that, and this one at the top, it has one central node and n branches coming off of it where I associate fermionic modes to the vertices at the ends of these branches. And so it turns out that basically anything else more clever that you try, you can achieve this linear qubit scaling and n squared log n Pauli weight. Okay. And this n branches turns out to have a low overhead in terms of qubits and Pauli weight as compared to the others. But there are nice features of the other ones, like if you were going for a code distance, then you might choose a different one. Okay. And so next I'm going to turn back to lattice models. which in some sense are the most natural for these local encodings. And I like to think about these as sort of being on a continuum here, where on one end I have the non-local Jordan Vigner, where I just have n qubits encoding n fermions. And on the other end, I have, I'm encoding directly this square lattice interaction graph, where now I have about twice the number of qubits as I have fermions. And in addition, I have to prepare this entangled vacuum state that turns out to be intimately related to the toric code. But on the other hand, all of my operators are local. I don't have these extensive Jordan-Vigner strings anymore. And I'm gonna try to fill in the gap between this two. And the approach that I take is to partition the system up into a number of blocks. I'm gonna define a coarse-grained lattice of blocks. And now the graph that I'm going to encode is going to be a coupling of the blocks nearest neighbor. So for example, at this level here, I have just four blocks. And then within each block, I place the modes on a chain. And so now I have four sites connected and with chains dangling off of them. And then you can see on the next level, I do that again. This would be a finer lattice. And so by doing it this way, I can control the number of qubits that I require to encode the system, which is going to be determined by the number of modes and the number of blocks. But I can also control the poly weight, which is given by the size of the blocks, which is to say that if I have an operator that is going to couple two modes nearest neighbor, that operator will never be larger than, say, something like the lattice spacing of the coarse-grained lattice that I'm encoding. And in addition, because I have to generate this toric code state that to mediate the locality, if you think about preparing the toric code state with some Mira state preparation circuit, which is going to, in stages prepare this state in some hierarchical fashion on some finer scales, you could think of this as sort of truncating at some point the Mira preparation for the toric code state. So in this way, you can control the locality, the number of qubits, and you can sort of speed up your state preparation circuit because you're preparing, say, some coarser toric code state. Okay, so that's all the time that I have. And so, I would refer you to the paper if you're interested, or you can shoot me a message on Slack if you have any other questions.